While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today, for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that. It also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean Lafitte.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 29th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Tyler McGill, 7 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts against the Dodgers. Whoa, okay. Better command was 4-seamer. Most of it was in the upper half, as opposed to staying down low, while his slider and cutter kind of lived upstairs, but got a lot of called strikes in there, and we got a little bit of the Cannibal McSanchez, that is, the cutter's coming back down. And that's nice. The American Spork, not so much for Tyler McGill, but the fact that he's throwing 96 with elite extension, like 7.5 extension, which is insane, upstairs is very effective, and that's why you had this fantastic performance. I don't know if Tyler McGill is going to be able to hold this. He hasn't in the past, and I think there's still more polish to be added to the rest of his secondaries. It's really, really nice to see this against the Dodgers, and I think I would take a chance against the Diamondbacks just to see how much this sticks around. The Diamondbacks aren't the scariest team around. Max Fried going 8 innings of 0 runs because Ace is going to ace, and it's kind of interesting seeing sliders and cutters going 0 for 18 whiffs, which is why the strikeouts are still below what you want to see. I mean, it's like a 20% strikeout rate right now for Fried, which is kind of strange. He should be closer to like a 24-25 for the year, so I'm excited for those runs that he's sure to have, and right now that's, I think, 5 of his last 7 starts for Max Fried of at least 7 innings. Attaboy. Gavin Stone did exactly what you're supposed to do against the Mets. Got the win, 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts, 10 whiffs. Honestly, this was just a lot of things over the plate, and that's cool. I don't really think that anything is really that special. Sometimes it's a changeup, but wasn't really here. It was just a guy that threw stuff in the zone. The Mets couldn't do it. And you just keep treating Gavin Stone like a premium Toby, essentially, especially for wins. This was a day of, like, all the middling pitchers doing their best stuff, and in some ways it's a little frustrating because I want to give like a certain spotlight to each guy, but like, this was the night of showcasing what could be across the board, right? You have Matt Waldron against the Marlins, 7 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. 3 straight games of having a ridiculously good knuckleball. 11 over 47 whiffs, 77% strike rate on this knuckleball. It's really turning into a Vargas rule. He gets the Angels next. I'd say don't trust a knuckleballer because generally they go in and out. That's three straight. I feel like the guy is clearly feeling it right now. Yeah, go for it against the Angels and hope it lasts. Zach Littell looked like his best self against the Athletics. 7 innings of 0 runs with 9 strikeouts as well. All these guys with a ton of strikeouts and just no one runs. It's crazy how good it was. Splitter was huge in this. 39% CSW, 9 over 28 whiffs for Littell. It was the Athletics. But his command overall, just way better. I've seen these starts of Littell where it's just like, here's a slider. I don't know what to do with it. I call it the old Anthony DeSclafani approach. And four-seamers trying to do stuff. Splitter's trying to do stuff. Really, neither one. It's just a slider. This was actually the slider being down in glove side, which was really cool. And then having rare four-seamers upstairs. And then like 26%, which is great. And then the splitter cooking. Thing is, he gets the Orioles next. I don't think I really want to test the waters with that with Littell. And I don't think this is going to stick. But this is nice, and it's kind of cool to see a guy who's generally had a lot of success since last year as far as the raw numbers go, or the shallow numbers. And this is one of the rare times where I saw a game and go, wait, hold on, you really deserved it this time. And that's great, and it's great to see that he deserved it and got the results that followed for it. And it was against Oakland, so you've likely started him, and it all worked out. I hope he can continue to work out moving forward. Ben Brown, wow, 7 innings, 0 in runs, 2 walks, 10 hits, 0 hits. I got some guy on Twitter being really angry at me, saying that the Cubs should have left him in at 93 pitches for the no-hitter, and then I was his, I don't know, face of analytics, and he said that I'm the problem with baseball. It's kind of funny, because Ben Brown is a four-seamer curveball guy, okay? You watch this game, you'll see someone who had 17 called strikes on his four-seamer in 61 pitches. His first 10 pitches of the game were all four-seamers in the first inning, and he had an 0-2 count on Christian Yelich. Really, he had a 2-strike count, and I was hoping actually he would throw only four-seamers to get through this inning, but instead he threw a beautiful curveball down underneath that just was an absolute hammer and destroyed Yelich underneath. And the thing is, that can work, right? It's not a bad fastball, clearly not. You throw like 96, 97, you're going to be effective for the most part unless you have a detrimental shape, which Ben Brown doesn't. He just doesn't have exceptional shape to it, right? And the way I see this is only 6 whiffs on 61 four-seamers. Yes, a lot of called strikes, fair. Absolutely fair. I don't really think you're going to see that so much passivity from the Brewers, which I kind of understand considering that Ben Brown is really Michael Kopech. Oh, man, that's your comp. That is actually the best comp I could possibly think of. This is Michael Kopech. And what I mean by that is it's really 2 pitches, four-seamer curve, where the command is not quite unreal. And you're really reliant on more of the breaker to get your whiffs. The one thing about Kopech is that Kopech actually had more four-seamer whiff potential than I think Ben Brown does. This was the peak of him. And I'm going to watch this for the YouTube channel. I'm also going to add something with those breakdowns. I'm going to have a bonus breakdown at the end. I'm not going to announce inside the video. It's just going to be an extra minute or two on someone else. So it's going to be one of these guys. I don't really know yet. It might be Ben Brown. Just kidding. It is Ben Brown. And it might be someone else. But yeah, short story here. Ben Brown looked awesome. It's great. He's obviously going to be starting next. And yeah, you just got to give it a whirl against the Reds. This, to me, is still missing something, whether it's just better overall spotting of, or at least consistent spotting, because this is the best command I've seen on his curveball, by the way, 10 over 32 whiffs for Ben Brown. It's also the longest blurb I wrote that wasn't the lead. I really wanted to focus on Tyler McGill in this one. But yeah, this is not the budding ace, unfortunately, because there's just, he needs another pitch, and he needs to get more, I think, out of the four-seamer. He can't just rely on that as a called strike pitch. I just don't think that's the way to go, and I don't think the curveball is going to be as good as this is. Okay, cool. Someone else that did absurdly well was Jake Irvin. This is nuts. The last roundup I had was Jake Irvin saying that it was Jake Unnervin. And I considered saying undeserving, but that was too harsh and not really what I was going for, because there are some ways that he did deserve it, but you know, he wasn't really showcasing anything that would be ace-like, and he got Atlanta next, and I was like, okay, cool, we just kind of move on. Well, Atlanta, maybe it's a fault of Acuna being hurt, and maybe Austin Riley not being hot as heck, and Matt Olson, and so on and so forth, but 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 10 Ks for Jake Irvin. That one against Atlanta, 13 whiffs, 27% CSW and 90 pitches. What? So this was, again, another peak start for another pitcher. This was four seamers upstairs beautifully. And then Curves, honestly, like, not the best locations of it. It was just all over the zone. But this is quite a run. Before the start, it was a five-start run of a 307 ERA with a 0.85 whip and a 213 BABIP in the time. Oddly enough, sub 70% left on base rate. But this really does feel like a Vargas role at best. And that is, Jake Irvin just is not that good. He just isn't. You know, he has a 94 mile per hour fastball. It's sometimes actually been like 96, and it was only 94 in this one. He has good extension, like at 7-ish, like right around there. It's not like 7.5, but 7, which is very good. But it just, can he go upstairs fastballs right at the top of the zone and then curves down underneath it all the time? I don't think so. We haven't seen it before from him. And we haven't seen strikeouts. Again, 17% strikeout rate in this good run from Jake Irvin. This seems like peak Irvin, right? And I can't trust that. Okay, we have other guys to talk about. So many interesting starts, and we're going to talk about all of that after this break.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Meet Gail. Her thing is being a supermom. And supermom has a lot on her super-sized plate.
Ain't that the truth?
But at Walmart Pharmacy, supermom recently got her whole family updated on all their vaccines.
We knocked it out during a grocery run. No appointment.
That's next-level supermom. From pneumonia to shingles, HPV, and more, get no-cost vaccinations from an expert pharmacist where you already shop. Welcome to an easier pharmacy. Welcome to your Walmart. $0 copay with most insurances. State age and health restrictions may apply.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Zach Wheeler, 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 9 Ks, because he's an ace, and that's wonderful. Mitch Spence had a great start against the Rays. Got the win, 5.1 innings, 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. Jason Collette texted me being like, yo, this Mitch Spence, he looks good. And yeah, he did. He was throwing 91 mile per hour cutters with a sweeper slider, and really it's a slider coming in 7 miles per hour slower. So it was like 90-91 against 83-84. And that was really it. And I don't really think that those are just elite pitches themselves. Maybe there's something to be said about throwing consistently two pitches that are that much slower and having decent command with it. It's kind of like Graham Ashcraft, but Graham Ashcraft's cutter is more like a real cutter. This is more of a lateral one. Actually, Mitch Spence's is more like a real cutter, while Graham Ashcraft's is more the dip cutter. Kind of maybe then is like Drew Rasmussen a touch? I don't know. Mitch Spence throws in 92-95 occasionally. I mean, really, he threw 6 of those just as a surprise. What up? I don't really love it. It's a blame on the Rays here. I don't think it's all that great. 6 whiffs and 23% CSW. Maybe he does turn into that old Rasmussen of like, he's just allowing weak contact because of these pitches are hard to hit. And Maybe that's it. The way I see it, though, is that batters should move up in the box against him. Think of him as 90-91 with movement, and you want to attack that movement earlier. So what that means, essentially, is the ball is going to be moving away from you. You want to make it travel less so that the ball is as far away in the end of the bat. You want to get closer to the barrel by you moving up in the box. Yes, it will come in a little bit harder for you, just like a touch harder, but it will help, I think, overall. It's what a lot of guys do when they expect slow stuff. Eric Miller opened for Spencer Howard, who just threw four innings of bulk in 49 pitches, and that's great. 60% fastballs is actually low for Spencer Howard, which is kind of cool. It was like 57%, and then secondary set of 48% CSW. And that's actually kind of wild for Spencer Howard, but no, we're not going to lean into that. Cal Gibson is a cherry bomb, and he did well against the Reds in Sin City, I should say. That's cool. If you can let us know when you're going to do well, that'd be great. Kyle Gibson, if you want to roll with it, by all means, you do you. For 15 teamers, you kind of have to. I get it, because he goes six innings and gets opportunities for wins and all that kind of stuff. But he's just unpredictable to me. Kevin Gausman against the White Sox got the win. Six innings, one earned run, four hits, one walk, three Ks. What? Because he went 9 for 21 splitter strikes, but he threw in the fastballs in the zone and that worked. Blame it on the White Sox. Ugh, Kevin Gausman's so frustrating this year. Hunter Brown against the Mariners. Guess what? Another guy going 9 strikeouts and 1 earned run in 6 innings. 4 hits, 0 walks. What the heck? What a day. Like, why am I frustrated? These guys are doing dope and being dope and all that kind of stuff. Yes, it's just, it's wild to me how many guys are just excelling here. And I think what happens is a lot of bad matchups. I mean, actually, no. Tom McGill and Jake Irvin in these good matchups and all these good opponents. I mean, you can even say Ben Brown too. But Hunter Brown did get the Mariners. And in this one, he just threw a ton of pitches in the zone. So he had sinkers upstairs. He had also his secondary sliders, curves, and splitters that were actually in the zone and weren't out of it. And I think that Royals start really messed them up for throwing secondaries in the zone. I mean, he threw it really like right down the pipe, just like meatballs there. But this was more at least like located around. And the Mariners just didn't know what to do with it because of the Mariners. So that's about it. The slider strikeouts, though, were pretty hilarious. They're like YM lock up the wazoo. And they swung over them. And it's just like, all right. Like, those are not good sliders, and he got strikeouts on it. But, yeah, Hunter Brown, good stuff. I'm not ready to trust this. Freddy Peralta against the Cubs. Oh, by the way, Hunter Brown against Minnesota. Yeah, I didn't know that. Freddy Peralta against the Cubs. 5.2 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 11 strikeouts. 23 whiffs. This was, like, premier Freddy Peralta. Why? Because he didn't miss east-west. He missed north-south. Yes, which is so hard to do because he's cross-bodied. That means he's throwing more laterally with his arm angle, and thus it is about timing going east up down as opposed to east west, which is a lot harder to do. It's much easier to miss east west that way. Huge props to Peralta. Four seamer was absurdly good in the upper half. When he needed to throw a strike in the zone, he did, but when he was a little bit more aggressive, he was able to go upstairs effectively. Everything was down. Sliders and changeups were all down, not like the scatter plot you sometimes see. It was awesome. This is peak Freddy Peralta. I really hope that we see one more start of it so I can believe that, yes, this is who he is now moving forward. We'll say a little inefficient, 111 pitches for 5.2 innings, but that's because he's just struck everybody out. Nobody could put the bat on the ball. Tyler Glasnow against the Mets. Ace is going to ace. We're good there. It's actually kind of interesting to see his four-seamer struggle to get strikes, 55% strike rate, which explains the four walks, but didn't matter. It was over 7 innings and a 6-base runner, so who cares? Luis Castillo, ace is going to ace against the Astros. Yeah, he's separated it out. He had four seamers upstairs. Changeups actually massively arm side, but they still worked for strikes. And then you had the slider middle and a glove side. Changeup was out of the zone a ton and got strikes, and that's cool. Nestor Cortez survived against the Angels. Lost the win due to the bullpen yesterday for the Yankees, but 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Not really the greatest CSW game for his four seamer and cutter. The Angels are a little bit better against southpaws, as Spore mentioned on the Fireside Chat. You should go listen to that. But yeah, good stuff from Nestor Cortez. Simeon Richardson came through. 5 innings for a win. 2 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. It's pretty boring. He looked like Anthony Descafani, which is interesting because I could think of Simeon Woods Richardson as more of a command guy of like utilizing everything, putting in the right spot. No, this was really just like slider, 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 slider over the zone. It worked out. Not really the thing I want to go for as he gets the Astros next. Nathan Eovaldi returned from the IL. 37 pitches for 3 innings. That honestly is pretty dang efficient. So props for that. He's still ill and obviously limited. So probably 2 starts away as they're just treating his rehab in the majors as opposed to the minors for Eovaldi. And I want to say Heaney because he tossed 41 pitches here. And we were thinking of him maybe starting next start or later this week. And maybe not now as Dane Dunning does come back. It's kind of interesting how they're maybe removing Heaney from the rotation, at least piggybacking in the short term, and then they'll add him back later. I don't know. There's a chance, because it was only 41 pitches for Heaney, that it was just an extended bullpen. So maybe he goes at the back end of this or something. I'm not sure how the Rangers are going to use this for Heaney. Quintana didn't do well against the Dodgers, but he did get a poor quality start, and there's props for that. Changeup at a 33% strike rate, but at least like he was able to throw it down a ton, and it's four-seamer at a 43% strike rate, and the curveball was able to do things. I'm not trusting this with Quintana. Jesus Luzardo against the Padres had a very poor quality start, which is not really what you want. That's 6 innings, 300 runs, and exactly 9 base runners. Only 4 Ks. His four-seamer was so precise up and glove side, but only returned 1 out of 29 whiffs, which is kind of annoying. But he did keep his sinker down, changeup, and sliders, not really making mistakes. He got through this one. Props to Luzardo for that. Griffin Canning against the Yankees. Yeah, it was against the Yankees. Not much more you can really expect there. He did decently well, but it's the Yankees, so he gets the Mariners next. I think that's going to be okay. Cole Reagans went. This was so frustrating. He went 5 innings, 300 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks as he was singled out. Someone even suggested in Twitter that he was a cherry bomb, and I understand that because the whip has just been so bad. His Zipper 9 is way higher than it should be. Thing is, he's still getting all the whiffs and strikeouts. He was 4-seamer and changeup in this one. He also had 5 of his 9 hits come on 2-strike counts, so you think, oh, he's just throwing these meatballs like it's old Dylan Bundy. No. All of them were on the edge or out of it, which is so frustrating. I mean, there was an 0-2 fastball out of the zone to Byron Buxton, for example, that I'm just like, I just don't throw the fastball there, and I think he could have thrown something else. It's also a case where the cutter and the slider are just not as good as they used to be. Yes, 2 of those hits were on the slider. They weren't actually terrible ones, but the fact that they're not doing the same work that they used to, only 10 total thrown, only 2 cutters really, and 8 sliders for Cole Reagans, making this once again a fastball changeup game where the curveball had to do more, and that's not a high strike pitch, right? That's more of like a 55% strike pitch. So it's not quite the Reagans that I remember from last year. I'm still expecting him to dominate because the fastball and the changeup are still great. It's just you need that cutter, you need that slider to really be that extra guy. And it's not there right now. It hasn't been there for a decent amount. Even that last start against the Tigers, if you remember reading that one or watching that with me, I was the one to tell you, like, the Tigers just batted these fastballs. So I'm still expecting greatness from Reagans. I think he'll get back to that. But yeah, right now, that's why he's not exactly what we want him to be. Brian Bello against the Orioles got the win. 5 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. His changeup is back to form with 10 over 31 whiffs, and that's dope. We should feel really good about the Tigers up next, because he actually looks like the most complete pitcher right now. This was against the Orioles. He looks ready. Slider is looking good, too. I love this. Jake Woodford, otherwise known as the Amish Mustang, was here because Mike Clevinger went onto the IL. This was Nick Nistrin. Sorry, I'm just getting lost all of a sudden. This was a game of Woodford throwing sweepers and slinkers, like a bad version of Brady Singer. Nick Nistrini, though, should benefit from this, as he, I think, has a longer leash now with the White Sox, because he should be ahead of Woodford in the chain. And that means that Nick Nistrini over time should be someone we should be focused on. Do not pick him up yet, but just don't forget about him, because he actually does have good stuff, a really good four-seamer that should excel, but the command hasn't been there. And we've seen that come in and out for Nistrini. I don't think of him as a terrible command guy. He's someone who's just going through, I think, the jitters of pitching in the majors. I think that will click in at some point, and I'm excited for that, because now he has an opportunity over time. So take note of Nick Nistrini. You have Brandon Font not doing well against the Rangers, at least only 1 home run this time, as opposed to, what was it, the debut last year was, what, 3 or 4 home runs? Yeah. So that's nice, at least for Font, but and maybe he's going to get 7 four-seamer whiffs consistently moving forward. That would be nice. Grayson Rodriguez had a King Cole with a 40% CSW and 18 whiffs, but it was a dusty donut because he allowed 4 runs and 8 base runners in 6 innings. It was really just the 2 innings of disaster for Grayson Rodriguez, and then he went absolutely bonkers. Finally kept his four-seamer upstairs. 12 for 57 whiffs on that four-seamer upstairs. Sliders and changeups are generally low, which is great. I think there's a little extra element of polish to really, you know, iron out those kinks early on, but this is much better with the four-seamer. I love that. Now, as long as those secondaries stay down, then we're really good. This is a really nice foundation that Grayson Rodriguez is setting for his four-seamer now. Tristan McKenzie, 5 innings, 400 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks. So you're like, okay, this is bad. This was Coors. 9 Ks, 17 whiffs, 35% CSW. Oh, come on! Sticks, buddy! Like, it's 91 in the fastball. It's a curveball that got some whiffs. Oh, okay, cool. It was very inconsistent. Fine. I'm not doing this. 9 over 32 curveball whiffs at 50% CSW. Yeah. I can't do it. Blame on the Rockies, even though it was in Coors. I'm avoiding the Royals next, not doing it. And Andrew Abbott, yeah, this is just, I think he looked chaotic in the zone, 23% CSW against the Cardinals. six earned runs in six innings. With so many interesting guys going tonight, I think you just go with those instead of Andrew Abbott. And Ryan Feltner, obviously not. He didn't do well against the Guardians in Coors, and yet we're not doing it. All right, we have some doubleheaders today, so make sure that Jared Jones is in your lineup. There are two debuts with Keiter Montero and Spencer Schwellenbach. Schwellenbach with the nickname the Crescendo, and that's Swelling Bach. That is a swell in music terms. It's pretty awesome. I love that nickname. Thank you so much. I'm really interested in Schwellenbach against the Nationals as a spec ad right now. I don't necessarily want to start him because I don't like doing MLB debuts, but he's a very interesting guy. Read more about him inside the streaming article. And Keiter Montero is making his debut for the Tigers as it's a doubleheader. He's not going to stick around, though, so I think you just kind of let that one go. That is a desperate streaming against the Pirates, but then again, he hasn't really gone five innings in the minors, so... maybe the Tigers push him because it is a doubleheader, but I don't know. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. Zach Gallen, Jack Flaherty, Nick Pivetta, Logan Gilbert, Carlos Rodon, Renato Lopez, all auto starts. Christian Scott and Brady Singer are your probable starts. And the questionable start to you have Spencer Arrighetti as your stream pick of the day as he goes against the Mariners. The results haven't been there, but the Mariners are just so bad, and I think that Arrighetti can get by with his four-seamer in the zone there. Jameson Taillon, Chris Paddock, Tyler Alexander, and Trevor Williams are all ugh. And sorry, they go in the questionable start tier. I don't really like this. Jameson Taillon, hopefully, come on, be your best self. Just spot those pitches and be good. Do not start tier is Patrick Sandoval against the Yankees, unfortunately. Colin Ray against the Cubs. And Kyle Muller against the Rays. Yeah, you don't want any of that. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABs be low and your strikeouts high.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go!
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com. CP439267V1.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor. And take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Meet Kara. Kara's thing is perfectly juggling her family's packed schedule.
Monday soccer, Tuesday haircuts, Wednesday birthday party.
She doesn't have a whole lot of spare time, so she shops at Walmart for all of her over-the-counter medications.
Thursday swimming, Friday groceries.
That way, she can help keep her family healthy and on track without having to make an extra stop or spend a lot on health and wellness essentials.
Saturday, fill the medicine cabinet. Sunday, massage for me.
Yeah, you've earned that. Welcome to your one-stop shop. Welcome to your Walmart.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.